can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John, Saturdays 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central. You can tune in right here and join me on Talk with John. I'll give out the on-air numbers here in a little bit, probably in the after the first segment. One way to interact with me, though, during the show is TalkWithJohn1 on Twitter. That's TalkWithJohn1. That's a good way to interact with me on Twitter. And want to... say a good Saturday to everybody out there. I hope this finds you well. We are 2 days away from celebrating Independence Day. I really want to focus on calling it Independence Day because I want people to focus on our independence. We've allowed those on the left to change it, and we've even those of us that are kind of on the conservative side of things have allowed us to get sidetracked to the July 4th, but it doesn't call out what it is. So let's do this. Let's get this show off to a really proper start. It is July 2nd, 2022, and it is about 3:04 Mountain Time, 5:04 Eastern, which my guest is joining me from. But let me give out my show prayers, it were, to begin with. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers, and may it be an acceptable token to our Father above. Then the show mantra, that's my the show prayer. Prayer of my heart. It's the prayer of my heart when I'm thinking about this show. Then the show mantra, where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. Folks, we need to talk about liberty. That is taken from 2 Corinthians. And it's also taken from Article 7 of the Constitution. Our founders understood who the God of this land was, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, the God of the world, we've been told, is Satan and Lucifer. But the founders said the God of this land is Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping that I can pull up as we get this conversation off to a start. I am going to wax another little scripture, and it's in, I believe, 2 Chronicles. I want to say it's 7:11. I could be wrong. I'm not the scriptorian that my father is. Verse 13. So, I believe it's in 2 Chronicles. It says that God will heal the... If we turn back to him, he will heal our land. Which one is it?
2 Chronicles 7:14.
What? 14? Okay, so give me the chapter again.
You had it right. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14.
Verse 14. Ah, I was off by a few verses. Dang it. Okay, so let me read this, and then I'm going to introduce my guest. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So, that really is up to you and me individually, but also us collectively as a nation. There's been many of us that have been calling out, hey, please, Heavenly Father, we need your help, and we got to win with the Supreme Court. But before we wax into that too far, let me introduce my guest. My guest is Michael Letts. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Invest USA. That's Invest USA. You can go to investusa.org to find out more about his organization. They help provide bulletproof vests throughout the United States, active shooter vests for first responders, our military, and as well as our law enforcement. So they've given out, if I understand the website correctly, over 6,500 vests so far, and that's active shooter vests, the ones with the plates, not just quote unquote the bulletproof vest that's supposed to stop a 9mm round. But you know, that's good work. Keeping people home helps out families.
Yeah, you know, John, it's tragic, but the three officers that were killed in Kentucky yesterday, and the canine, along with the officers that were wounded, those officers would be alive if they had an active shooter vest. The assailant was the warrant was for domestic violence, and the assailant had a long range rifle, and actually quite a few of them, and was going from room to room, shooting out the windows, the officers as they came up, and of course, you know, with the long range rifle, without having the proper vest protection, he took out three of them.
Well, you know, I know that there is an expense, but the federal government wants to give away, I just was reading an article today, $63 billion to Ukraine. Imagine if they decided, well, we're going to take some of that money and we're going to give an active shooter vest to every police officer, sheriff, and trooper. I bet you we could take care of the entire United States. Go ahead.
$750 million is what we estimate. Anywhere from $750 million to $900 million, somewhere in that area. So less than 1% of that money that you're talking about, or 1% of that money that had gone to law enforcement officers in America, they'd all be protected.
Well, let's see what we can do to continue to help out those first responders. But and the thing that I like about you, though, Michael, is it's you're not just Mr. You cheerlead for the police, but you're also willing to call them out. We've had a conversation a couple weeks ago, and I want to go over it again because there's, from my understanding, even more new information since the last time we spoke. And even if it's not like brand new information, I do want to go over it again. There are a couple things that happened in Uvalde that really make me seriously frustrated. I listened to former Navy SEAL Jenko Wilkins, I believe it is. And he went over the Uvalde thing about a couple of weeks ago, and you could hear the frustration in his voice. Basically, when he got to seven people on scene, he's like, I really like my odds in that scenario.
I like my odds, John, quite frankly, when you look at the documentation. This is what we know for a fact now. This is hearsay. When the third officer arrived, you had three officers on the scene, which would have been more than enough to go into the scene. But yet the scene had not been established. The assailant was still outside going in. There was the opportunity to take a shot, to take him out before he ever got into the school. That's what I like the best. The shot should have been taken.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into... I think this is, to me, there's becoming a real right and left to America.
There's no question.
I want to hit the West Hollywood community votes to deter police funding. In the face of increasing crime waves, growing crime waves in West Hollywood.
You know, it's interesting, John, the crime wave that you're referring to, it's 138% increase in less than a year. I mean, just dwell on that number for a minute. 138% increase. Just now, over the last 6 months.
Let's just say it was like 38% increase. So let's just see if I understand my math correctly. Let's say that there were 100 crimes committed in the previous year. A 38% increase would mean there are 38 more crimes committed, so that would be 138. Is my math right that 138% increase means you're getting like more than double?
More than double. That is correct. So if you had 100, your analogy is correct. You would have had 138, but in this case, you've now got 238 crimes instead of 100. Just within 6 months of last year.
And they wanted to
here's
funding.
Yeah, here's what's interesting, John. The polling, you remember, it's unfortunate, but people don't make decisions. I'll talk about our leaders based on what's right or wrong. They do it on the basis of what do the poll numbers show, which can be misleading sometimes. But in this particular event, it was almost 3-1. Polling before the vote was taken, that West Hollywood wanted additional funding to be spent on law enforcement. They do not feel safe in their neighborhood. And yet, despite having that polling information, that polling data, despite having the statistics that show 138% violent crime increase, despite having the plea from the police chief and officers that they needed more support, they needed more funding, they chose, in the face of their constituents and their first responders, and by one vote voted to defund them instead of funding them additionally.
Insane. Insanity. So what, and then they decided that they were going to put in an unarmed security ambassadors. Now,
yeah, that was their way to soft pedal their vote. Is okay, let's just say it takes $100,000 to fund three officers, and it's probably a little bit more. Let's just use for hypothetically three officers, $100,000. Well, they thought they could get five safety officers for $100,000. Of course, these safety officers are counselors. They have no law enforcement experience. They have no law enforcement training. They do not carry a weapon. They simply try to de-escalate situations with their verbal skills of talking people out of committing crimes. Here's the problem that you have with that. First of all, most crimes, you do not catch them doing the crime. You have to investigate it and make arrests afterwards. Now, quite frankly, the more officers you have, the better chance you have of catching them while the crime is being committed. Obviously, when you have a defunded police department, you have fewer officers on the street. So you've already got a less percentage of catching in the act. Now you're going to take even more officers off the street and replace them with counselors who you know will not catch them in the act. I'm not so sure what they're planning on doing with these officers, these safety officers.
Okay, so I'm going to go a little conspiratorial. You know I do that to you every once in a while, so talk me off the ledge. I am a little bit of a moron on this when it comes to things along those lines. But I scratch my head and I go, you know, if I was a bad guy that was given money, which the mob has done, and my guess would be done in West Hollywood, has a fair amount of gang activity.
Correct.
You know, if I was a bad guy, I would love to come up with some concept of an unarmed security force. Because, you know who I'd do everything to get and put money into people's pockets so I could make it happen? I'd want my guys. Now, even if it's not like my guys, right? My maid guys, as it were.
Right.
I would want to pay and get in people that I know I can have a little, shall we say, at the very least, influence over.
Sure.
And I know that I can have a lot more people watching things that the guys that I don't like as much. Or I can tell them, hey, you know what? You really need to go watch this other area because, I hear something's going to happen over in that area. And then I make sure it happens in another spot.
Well, you have a great source of information when you're able to have insider information, John. And that really, you've got a win-win situation. You have a great source of information, A. And B, you have less people. Oh, we should use our people. We should use the proper term. Less certified law enforcement officers who will be available to thwart your endeavors. So it really is a very, very lucrative practice, quite frankly.
And am I, like, out of my mind for saying that?
No, not in the least. I mean, you know, here's why. If you have people call in and say, that's crazy. Well, here's the key factor, folks. When you're hiring safety officers who require no training, it is very easy to put people in that position who have other loyalties. Because, first of all, you're not paying them very much because, A, they have no training. And, B, certainly when they have no training, they have no loyalty to who they've been trained by. So, yes, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, John, with what you're proposing.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know that I'm not clearly totally out of my mind. Just slightly out of my mind. Another thing that makes me out of my mind is Chicago police have a new policy, no foot chase policy, brought in by the most wonderful mayor in America. I believe it's Lori Lightfoot.
Beetlejuice is who I call
her. I think that's a good name for her. I'm glad you went there because I'll follow right along.
Yeah, if you look at her picture and you put Beetlejuice's picture right next to it, it's really kind of hard to distinguish which one is woman, is which.
Yes, it is. What is her thought process there? Is there any kind of reasoning that says you shouldn't have a no foot chase policy?
Let's work our way backwards. Let's talk about policy first.
We got a commercial coming up, Michael. We'll talk about the policy coming up after this break.
For the the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
It does make me crazy, folks. This is Talk with John right here on KBJA AM 1640. Or not AM 1640. What am I saying? Uh-oh. Better put a dollar in the jar. I gift up this time. I hope the powers that be will forgive me for that. So I do have a show on KBJA AM 1640 in Utah. But we're right now we're on Republic Broadcasting Network, and I've got Michael Letts joining me right now. So, Michael, thank you for joining me. Now, we were about to get into Lori Lightfoot's policy change of no foot chases. What? And my question to you was, what in the world is her thought process on that?
Well, let me set the stage, John, as we talk. This. Let's talk about Chicago. We are going into Independence Day weekend, July the 4th weekend. Always a big holiday, shall we say. And we always keep statistics as to what goes on, especially in Democratic-controlled cities. Just for Friday, they've had 44 shootings so far in one day. Four dead.
Wow.
First, we're going into a holiday. We count Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I don't know what the statistics show for today. Today's not over yet. But obviously, for the first day, it's going to be a record-setting holiday crime-wise for Chicago. Now, it was important for me to make that statement, and here's why. Understand what's happening with crime in Chicago, but not just in Chicago, in New York, and in Democratic-held cities across the country. It's escalating, but the gruesomeness and the violence of the crimes are just going on things we've never heard of before. So that's the scenario, the background you have. You now have a mayor who has decided to create policy for law enforcement. Understand, now this is not a former law enforcement officer who served 30 years, who, you know, had training, et cetera. This is what I call Beetlejuice. That's just my terminology for. She has literally no knowledge, no understanding of criminology, of law enforcement, how it works, of what policies do.
Okay. Michael, let me jump in here. She has no I will agree with you on the understanding of law enforcement. I will not concur with you that she doesn't have any understanding of criminality.
I will probably agree with that, John. What I was attempting to say is she really doesn't understand the ramifications of how her mindset works and how it affects communities all across the country. But we'll get with that in just a minute.
Okay.
So her basis was, you will recall, because we did it on this show, roughly about 6 to 8 months ago, there was a young person, 13 years old, who was riding in the back of a car with another person. Police stopped that vehicle, an unmarked police unit, but it had its lights on, and had four detectives in the car. They were attempting to, because they recognized the driver. He was a wanted person. They were stopping the car to get him. He jumped out, started running. The 13-year-old pulled a firearm from the seat, fired through the glass at the officers, shot, and I didn't hit any, but I mean, a bullet came within a half of an inch of an officer's head, because we know that because it was found in the headrest right next to where his head was at. He jumps out, the officers jump out, they draw their weapons, he turns around and starts running, they start running after him, he stops, turns back around, and continues firing at the officers, and of course they return fire and they kill him, take him out. You remember Lori Lightfoot's, Mayor Lightfoot's statements. This is not the image we want Chicago to portray. This is not how Chicago should look. She took that statement, dwelled on it for the last 7 months, and here is her response to that statement. She has now figured out that if we eliminate chases, we eliminate the ability to shoot people. So that is her rationale behind issuing the policy that there are no foot chases allowed. Now, let me tell you the practicality for Chicago. And not just for Chicago. Understand, this sends a message to criminals all across the country. It sends a message to law enforcement all across the country. The message to criminals is very clear. If you are stopped, is all you have to do is resist. Because if you can resist and break free, you're gone. Now, they may try to pick you up at your house later, et cetera, but you now have another chance to stay on the streets, to hide at somebody else's house, and to continue your lifestyle. That message resonate not just in Chicago, but nationwide, because criminals kind of follow patterns with each other, what they do in other areas. So you've now just sent a message to criminals.
We'll get back after this break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
All right, Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. We're back with Mike Letts of InvestUSA.org. When we come out of the next break, I want you to share how people can find out a little bit more about your organization, Michael. Now, first, though, let's get back to the message that is sent from people like the left. Lori Lightfoot, the message that's being sent to not just the criminals, but law enforcement. Now, you were saying the criminals, the message to them basically is, hey, we got your back. We're going to make sure you get out. We may not even go after you at all.
Correct. And you know, the key part for the criminals is the clear message is you want to resist. If officers detain you, do what you can, hurt them, kick them, whatever you need to do to break free. Because if you're able to break free, they're not supposed to chase after you. Message that, now that's just in Chicago, but remember, criminals have a tendency not to remember jurisdictional lines, and they'll try this all over the country. The second thing that happened is, what does it do to the law enforcement officers? It sends a very clear message that their value of their life is zilch, is non-existent to political agencies. And the reason why is because we're willing to put our law enforcement officers now in harm's way. They're already in harm's way. But we're willing to add to that and send a message to the criminals, fight them if you can. Do everything you can to resist, to try to break free, because we've told them that they can't come after you. And the message that sends is, your life is not valued. We don't do anything to back you, to support you. We really don't pay you squat to begin with. So why do you want to do this job? And what happens is, we already have record number of officers leaving the force, record number who you remember were fired from the force because they refused the vaccine. We have a record number now that are retiring. And so we have a thin blue line that's fixing to snap. And now you add this on top to it, you'll get more resignations, more people figuring it's easier just to drive a garbage truck if you have to make a living. And here's the saddest part about it. I mentioned this to you, John, we were off the air. Because of what media has done to portray law enforcement as not deserving of respect, racist, bad people who shouldn't be listened to, who should be despised, we have a younger generation who has absolutely no interest in pinning on a badge. And so two things happen. You don't have any young people coming in applying, so you have a lack of applicants to begin with, period, to put the badge on, to fill the vacancies that are coming in. So what does that do to law enforcement agencies? It forces them to reduce their standards. Kind of, look, we'll just take anybody that's willing to put on a badge. Well, you know, you kind of get what you pay for. You kind of get what the requirements and the qualifications are. When you have to reduce them that much, don't be surprised when you begin to get more and more people saying, hey, why did that cop react that way? Why did he do that? Why did he not have more control? Why did he not understand better the situation? Because we had to reduce the qualifications to be an officer to get anybody to wear a badge. And even by reducing the qualifications, I'm not so sure how successful you'll be to be able to fill all the vacancies that are coming due now.
Well, I've got a great solution if we can't fill them. Why don't we get a federal police force?
Here's what I'm laughing at, John. That's already in play. You're a little bit behind the eight ball there on that one. Here's what's happened. Of course, you have to understand there's the narrative. And what is the objective? It's been in play for decades, okay? You go back to the originality. This country was founded and based on independence, freedom, liberty, the ability for self-governance, and based on values and principles, Christian values and principles, by the way. I say unashamedly. The rest of the world didn't like that. Communism doesn't like that. Socialism doesn't like that. And so their objective was, they did not want us to be successful. Well, guess who the most successful country in the world is, has been for the last 200 years? The United States of America. Guess where most people in the world, now I'm not talking about the leadership, I'm talking about residents all across the world, yearn to be free. They envy what you and I enjoy every day, but most Americans don't even pay a second thought to. I've lived in foreign countries. I know how much they yearn to come to America, to be a part of this American dream. But the rest of the world wants to destroy it. And so they have calculated how to do that. They know they can't do it from without. We have too big of a powerful army. We have the most powerful army in the world. And so they determined to do it from within. They began to do this 5 decades ago, or even before then, but really concertedly 5 decades ago. One of the things that their main concern was is, how do you destroy a populace that's armed? It's very difficult to do. And so they determined one of their key factors was, they had to unarm the American people. How do you do that? Well, it's hard to pass legislation to confiscate guns when the people that are going to have to confiscate them are your next-door neighbors, the people who go to church with you, the people who see in the grocery store. So they determined ways to do that was, they would have to create a national police force. Why is that so significant? Because if you look at the qualifications of the requirements for federal police agencies, John, if we hire you, if you live in Georgia, you don't stay in Georgia. I move you to Oregon, California, Utah, someplace where you have literally no network of support. You know nobody. You don't have any allegiance to anybody. You're much more likely to carry out the mandates and the orders that we give you if you're in that situation. So how have they done that? They have currently the U.S. Capitol Police, their mandate by law, by executive order, is they take care of Capitol Complex, that small acre, that small mile in downtown Washington. That's all they're charged with doing. Yet they have a $625 million budget this year. They're opening offices in Miami, all over the country. Why are they doing that, John? I did not realize that we had U.S. Capitol or legislative offices in Miami, in California, and other places. We don't. They are laying the stages and the groundwork for laying out the national police force that will be necessary to implement the program to disarm. You say, well, how are we going to disarm? Well, that just happened, 2 weeks ago in Congress when they passed the gun control bill. Well, there's nothing in there that allows them to take our firearms. No. But there is the red flag law provision that you and I have talked about. This is simply anybody can say, John's crazy, and immediately we can seize your firearms. Now, you can fight that. You can go to court. You can hire attorneys. You can schedule hearings to prove that you're not crazy. But guess how long that takes to get that process done? In the meantime, we've had the opportunity to seize your firearms. So they have this provision that's now been passed that the president has now signed into law and gives them a vehicle in which now to come in and be able to take people's firearms. People that will have to do that will not be local. Because they're not going to violate the Constitution. They know there's a Second Amendment there. But if the police will do so, you say, well, how many are they going to have to hire? Well, there's another interesting fact that most people don't understand. Just within the last two U.S. Capitol, U.S. congressional budgets have been passed, the federal budgets in Washington, there has been more money allocated to agencies. I'm not talking about law enforcement agencies like DEA, FBI, et cetera. I'm talking about IRS, others, who have now deputized and made their agents law enforcement qualified. And there is now more money than ever before that has been placed to buy weapons and ammunition to all these other agencies who have literally no business carrying a firearm. That is how they're multiplying and putting together their federal law enforcement police should they need it before they're able to carry out the plan of creating a federal law enforcement under the U.S. Capitol.
I mean, I thought the IRS was just supposed to be a bunch of attorneys.
Well, there is now a provision, to be honest with you. It was just introduced yesterday, I believe it was, by a couple congressmen to bar the IRS from being able to use any money to purchase ammunition and weapons for its agents. But that's just a piece of legislation that's been introduced. Whether it will pass or not is another matter. That just shows you that what I'm talking about is not some pie in the sky or some conspiracy theory. It's reality.
Okay. So I had a conversation Wednesday I went out of my county, went a couple counties away, and went to a restaurant after a meeting that I had. And as I'm going in, there were a bunch of there were a couple guys with guns on their hips, and I'm like, I'm going to bet that these guys are local law enforcement. I was in a small town, and after I got my food and sat down, in fact, I started a little bit of a conversation with them and while I was in line to eat, and I asked them, so what are your thoughts on the general citizen carrying a firearm? I told them I was a radio show host, and so they might have been a little bit more open to me talking to them. But there wound up being like 10 of them there from two different agencies.
Gotcha.
And so I asked them, I said, okay, I'd like to ask two general questions to law enforcement. And I said, I've asked people, law enforcement from California, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, Nevada, and Utah. I've talked to them. Those are the law enforcement that I've talked to. And I said, I've got two questions for them that I like to ask. What the first one is, what are your thoughts on general public carrying firearms? And how do you feel about them carrying it concealed as opposed to open carry? So in Utah, we had a law passed that's called constitutional carry. It allows us to, we can even carry concealed, if I understand correctly. And so they a bunch of them started giving their responses and their thoughts. And it was the first time that I actually had a little bit of a negative comment, but you had to qualify it. So it went around the table, and several of them looked me in the eye, and I've had this with many different law enforcement. Invariably, the vast majority look me in the eye, and I would say there's about 25 to 35, maybe even 40% of them that look me in the eye and say, I want you, I need you to carry. I need you to be armed. And when I first started asking that question, I actually was a little surprised with it. But almost all of them say, in fact, all of them on some degree say, I want you to carry. Some of them qualify it, well, if you're a bad guy, if you're a felon, I don't want you to carry. And so I will even come back on them and I say, okay, I'm a little crazy on this. And I said, I'm not in law enforcement. I don't have to deal with it like you do. But my personal opinion is I think everyone should be able to carry. Whether you're a convicted, if you're out of prison, I think you should be able to carry. Maybe we could go as far as saying if you're out on parole, you shouldn't. But once you're no longer under parole and you're out of prison, I think you should be able to carry. And I would say probably about 70% of them don't like that. But I said, okay, let me ask you this question. When you come up on me as Joe Q Public Citizen, do a stop on me, do you treat me as your buddy if you've never seen my car before? Or how do you treat me? And all of a sudden the light bulb goes on and they're like, yep, I treat you as a possible threat or likely threat right up until I have very good reason to believe that you're not. And I said, you basically interact with everybody that way. And it goes back to their statement, I want you to carry. And I said, the bad guy is going to let you know, not too far off, that he's not pleased with you. It's not going to be Joe Q Citizen like me. So that's been interesting. So that interaction, the first time I at first thought that maybe I had a police officer that didn't want, he goes, I don't like people carry. And he goes, I don't like open carry. And then he qualified it with, I don't like them open carrying. I want them to concealed carry because it makes people nervous. And he's like, I saw a guy that carried it like an AK-47 to a shopping mall. And I'm like, yeah, that happened here in Utah. It happened in Utah County, the county I live in. But that's like an outliner. But the thought went through my mind after I had that conversation. If you're out to a restaurant and someone's drinking a beer, you don't look at them sideways typically, unless you're in a super religious area that doesn't believe in it. But you don't look at them sideways. You look at them sideways maybe if they get the car right after they got drinking.
Right.
But I'm like, so I've even had this conversation with people. You know, one thing that the Second Amendment world, the Brownings, the Remingtons and Winchesters, what they should have done 50, 60 years ago is they should have paid for ad time on the TV like the alcohol people do. And then people wouldn't be afraid of guns. But I just found that to be a super interesting comment or conversation that every single one of them, all 10 of them at that table, felt from fairly strongly to, I need you. I mean, I had a guy that said, I need you carrying. Why aren't you carrying?
Right. Well, and to defend what the other officers had said, understand that ties in to judicial reform. They feel that way because of the fact right now that most criminals don't serve very much time. It's a revolving door, and they have become so accustomed to, I don't have to pay for my crime. There's no accountability. I get out in a day or two anyway, that their mindset has not changed. There's been no reform, for lack of a better word, to cause them not to want to do harm with their firearm instead of good. And that's why you hear some comments like that.
Well, I and you know what? If I had to deal with bad guys every day, maybe I'd feel the same way. And one of them that said that, my understanding is basically he is dealing with bad guys every day. I mean, that's basically what he does, is he deals with the worst of the worst. It wasn't your normal patrol guy.
If you had judiciary.
Hold on. I need you to finish that thought after we come back from break. This is Talk with John. I'm with Michael Letts of Invest USA. Let's continue that thought after this break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John here on Republic Broadcasting. Enjoying this conversation that I'm having with Michael Letts of Invest USA. Michael, why don't you tell people a little bit more about your organization, how they can reach out to you, what your organization does, and then we're going to get into finishing up that thought of the conversation I had with a bunch of 10 law enforcement individuals sharing basically, hey, I need you to carry firearms, folks.
Well, they can be of great assistance if they'll go to our website, which is www.investusa. That's investusa.org. It's a charity.org. There's a litter of things that they can do to help. I was just talking in our last hour, John, how the Thin Blue Line, because of everything that's going on we're discussing, is becoming so thin and fragile that we definitely need to support. I told you we just lost 3 officers yesterday, unneeded, in Kentucky. Got 3 more were injured. That's a total of 6. K-9 was killed as well, K-9 dog. And this is just happening on a day-to-day basis. We're quickly running out of officers across this country. We need to make sure they have their equipment. I realize it should be the role of government to do so. But I would urge our listeners, our viewers, you know, if the government won't take care of them, and law enforcement already realizes that government does not have their back, they need to know that the people do. Because we're quickly coming to a situation to where law enforcement is going to be put into a predicament of who do they back. Some of these governmental leaderships and administrations that are asking for unconstitutional mandates to be placed upon people that have no business being done? Or do we back the rights of the people? The American law enforcement officer typically wants to do the right thing and back the American people and the Constitution. But they really need to know that the American people support. And so take this opportunity to demonstrate that. Go to our website and contribute if you can. But I tell people, even above the contribution, there are three things I ask the American public. First and foremost, tell your first responders that you appreciate their service. Thank you for your service. I've got your back. Morale has never been this low, and we need to make sure that they understand that we, the people, have the back for first responders. Second of all, it's what you and I have just been talking about, John. I need every American to make sure that they have the ability, they're trained in how to use a firearm, they possess and own a firearm, they know how to use it. The day is quickly coming to where you are going to have to not only to defend yourself and your family, but you may be called upon to help defend your neighbor, law enforcement, friends, and first responders. You can't do that if you don't know how. So please, while the opportunity is still there, make sure you own a firearm, make sure you know how to use it. And then the third thing I ask our people to do is, if you can, show your support to our first responders by making sure they have the equipment that they need to come home safe to their families. They certainly have earned that right. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Thank you. We probably have about another 30 or seconds or so. Want your thoughts on that? There was that one officer, there was two officers that were like, okay, so I want you to answer this. There were a couple officers that were like, actually, I don't want the bad guys to have a firearm. And you said you had some thoughts on that. Let's get to it on the other side of this break. You're joining me in the next hour. We're going to get into it. We got a lot more to cover. We've got Uvalde. We've got the border. We got January 6th. So much more. So on the other, in the next hour, you're joining me. Look forward to it. We'll be right back, folks.
Go, go, go. Here go.
We are living in a banana republic. I'm Peter Serafied with today's Liberty Minute. Kenneth Harrelson is a disabled American veteran who has been in a D.C. jail for 476 days without a trial. The Speedy Trial Act of 1974 states that an indictment must happen within 30 days and a trial must commence within 70 days of the indictment. I say again, Kenneth Harrelson has been in jail for 476 days without a trial. If that isn't bad enough, his wife just received notice that the VA is canceling Kenneth's benefits, both compensation and medical, at the urging of the Biden Justice Department. Law requires he lose his benefits if convicted of subversive activity. Harrelson fought for American justice, but is being denied his liberty by the Justice Department. Stand up, people, or you might be next. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.